Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on August 7th of 2020. Slightly later than we normally record, but hopefully this might get put up in about the same time off frame. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about some of the anime we've been watching, a few of which actually air on Toonami. Yeah, that's our intro from now on. I know I've been doing it for a while, but I'm sticking with it, man. Okay, but quick thing, apparently, so we've got Toonami coming again this week, but apparently after that they won't be showing the usual shows, and for 2 weeks we'll be showing some Batman movies.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't know what to make of it. I guess they must just be that far behind in Black Clover and JoJo and everything that they have to completely preempt.
They're probably okay with JoJo because it went off and now it's back. I don't think they necessarily be doing. Then again, maybe because they were replacing something with JoJo, so maybe they decided to put it on ahead of time, or maybe they were already holding off on JoJo and it was ready. I don't know. I did see when they announced Fire Force Season 2, someone was saying, "Yeah, I'm kind of worried that they'll just have the My Hero Academia happen and they'll catch up to the dub." And then they'll have to put rerun stuff. So maybe this will stop that, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So I don't know what we're going to be doing there, if we're going to watch the stuff or watch something else, but we can probably figure that out later. Anyway, right. Let's get into it, because we are in a little bit of a time crunch for this episode. So we start out with the return of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind, episode 29. Actually, this seems like it might have been a decent enough place to. I just noticed this. Apparently, there's a recap episode between episodes 28 and 29. So I guess there. What that you might as well have a break there, because apparently it was considered enough of a change that they did a recap.
Yeah.
Which thankfully didn't air on Toonami. Anyway, so we're back, and actually, to be honest, I forgot a bunch of what was going on, but they're looking for the boss or something like that. And they get this call from someone telling them they have all the information and stuff, and calls and tells them they should come to the Coliseum to see them. And they're suspicious, but some of the stuff seems to check out, so they go there. But it's a trap! I'm sorry, I can't do the Akbar voice right. It's a trap! Was that better?
A little better.
Okay.
I bet I can do it, though.
Okay, try.
Give me 8 minutes. I'm not going to try.
Okay, so the enemy's stand apparently gives the ability that he can start to cover you with this thing and destroy your body when you descend. So as long as you don't go down, you're safe. Which reminds me of, wasn't that one of the prophecies in Hunter x Hunter where it said, like, don't go downstairs? And then, like, the guy, one of the guys who received it goes, haha, the auction is upstairs, so I won't be going into the basement, so I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Which turned out, well, when that happened, I thought, oh, it's a trick or something. But no, that worked out fine. I guess the prophecy was the warning about the earlier auction where everyone got killed while downstairs. Anyway. So they manage to figure out that's a trick and avoid being immediately taken out. And but now they still got to deal with the enemy. And that was our episode. There's also an overly long flashback about the enemy and about how much of a psycho he was.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was unnecessary. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, I thought it was a pretty good comeback episode.
Yeah, it was good. But the flashback just went on. So it reminded me of that. Remember that Hunter Hunter episode where it spent about like half the episode on the life of like Gyro or whatever?
Yeah, Gyro, and he was like, it was like he had such a depressing life, and then it was like. and it was like he got killed like later in the episode. It was so stupid.
Yeah, it felt like that, although not quite as bad. It wasn't quite as long, and it felt more relevant. But yeah, that again could have been cut down considerably. I mean, I don't really know what we needed to know about him other than he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that aside, it was decent enough. Okay, so after that we have Black Clover episode 127. So there's two things. One is Noelle meets Dorothy, you know, that dream girl who you actually, I think, was the focus of the first episode you watched when you started kind of paying attention to the show again. Who basically tells her in the dream world thing that there is some sort of weird curse thing, but if anyone speaks about the curse, then they would get the curse itself, and she can only say it to her because they're in the special dream world.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they got that, and some of the other characters were going to try to get information about curses from Gordon's parents. Gordon's a sort of weird-looking guy with the weird eyeliner, and his family looks exactly like him. And and then they do that, and it looks like they're all creepy and evil, but they're actually not. So, yeah, that was basically the episode. Did I miss anything?
No, that seemed like that was everything, I think.
Yeah, I mean...
I didn't really, think it was a great episode, but it was good, you know?
Yeah, it was decent enough. It has some funny jokes, but in terms of plot, I mean, there was some exposition, but in terms of plot, it was just kind of, eh.
Yeah.
All right, so then we go to Excel World episode 15. So the bad guy Haru. That's his, yes, Haru. I keep getting his name mixed up with Taku's. that's why I keep getting confused. He's fighting against, I don't know, Jerk Kid. I can't remember his name. But the Jerk Kid then steals his wings somehow.
Yep. Yeah.
Which seems like a really overpowered ability.
And now he's going to have to hand over his points on a daily basis, according to the Jerk Kid.
Yeah. So he basically gets super depressed and stuff and runs into Ash Roller. That's it. I keep thinking it's Ash Rider, who is even more foul-mouthed than before. he swears more in this episode than I think everyone else, actually including him, in the previous episodes combined have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's going up against him, but then he gets all depressed and stuff again about it, which actually annoys Ash Roller, who then decides to try, because I guess he's a nice guy after all, he decides to try to fix things for him because he lost the wings by bringing him to some other person. What are they called? The person... There's a term for it. The person who introduced you into the game, like a mentor, teacher,
senpai,
whatever it was. I think there was a specific term for it, but whatever. Yeah. So they go to talk to them, and I guess the point is that it's going to be getting Haru to stop being mopey and fight, and then he'll get the thing back somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to have to learn to fly again. And sounds like a 80s song. So, yeah, I thought the episode was pretty good, actually, because for once, like, the conflict didn't get resolved within a single episode, which I was totally planning on it. So I was like, okay, when's this going to end? And then it didn't. And I was like, okay, well, now we finally got a real problem on our hands. And it made me interested. So, yeah, I thought it was a pretty good episode.
True. Although they made the jerk kid so, like cartoonishly evil, it actually is kind of irritating. I guess the point of that is so that when he inevitably gets comeuppance, you feel satisfied. But it kind of goes past the point of, oh, I can't wait to see him get his, to, oh, can we get him off the screen? Honestly, the best part of the episode, even if was Ash Roller and Haru's like interactions, where Ash Roller is just getting annoyed with how mopey he's being. That was actually kind of funny. I like that. Okay, so that's Excel World. Then we move on to ReZero episode 30. Okay, so. So Subaru meets Echidna, who tells him that the whole thing was a recreation based on his memories. You know, this wasn't like some alternate timeline or whatever. It was just that. And I do like the part where she's kind of like taunting him and saying, oh, well, did you really think your parents would react disgraciously? This is just how you wanted them to react. And, you know, it's like playing the whole, like, you know, sort of manipulative thing. And Subaru's just like, eh, whatever. It's like, it's the same. I actually kind of like the thing where it feels where just like when Echidna saying, I'll answer, what questions do you want to ask me? And Subaru's like, eh, I just want to go to Amelia. I hope this is going to be a running gag where Echidna tries some sort of manipulation, but Subaru doesn't fall for it just because he's just kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I just like.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I agree. Yeah.
I just like the idea of the character not, like, seeing through anything. He's just like, well, whatever, I don't care. Anyway, so, so he gets out of the thing, but Amelia's still all, not exactly comatose, but in some sort of dream thing that's apparently traumatic for her, so he gets her out of it, and they leave, but they have to go back and try the trial again, which isn't working out great for so they try it again and she's not able to still. And I'm sorry, I might be getting the order of episode things in this episode mixed up a little. I can't remember the exact sequence. But they managed to convince them to let most of the people go out of the thing where they were being kept hostage. Now, and then, of course, the big thing is where Subaru is talking to Roswell, and it turns out that Roswell actually he says that he left the manor undefended because he knew that Subaru would come in and manage to sort out everything with the witches cult, which would have the effect of making them have an alliance with Crochet and everything turning out great and making the villagers like Amelia more. And Subaru is just like, that makes no sense. He's like, yeah, why would you rely on me to do something like that? I was complete trash. It was only during the time you weren't around that I even improved to the extent I did. And Roswell just changes the subject.
Yeah, that, oh man, I know it reminds me of something, but I can't tell you what, because I can't think right now. I know there's something I want, and it wasn't that long ago where, like, they Man, why is my mind blanking on it?
Well, while you think about it, I wanted to say some extra things about that.
Okay.
So that, to me, was actually the most interesting part of the episode. Because up until this point, Roswell has been kind of goofy. But he's, well, okay, initially I thought he was just kind of a bad guy. But I guess, and then I was like, oh, I guess where he's just, you know, he just looks like that because he's just kind of goofy. He's actually a good guy. But then here we suddenly get a much more morally gray side of him. But the big question to me is the fact he says that he had complete faith that Subaru would manage to solve all of it. And again, that's a legitimate question. Why would he do that? So there's the two main possibilities and speculations after this is, one, he's actually making this all up. Like, maybe he had some other reason entirely, and he's just making this up because he wants to, I don't know, do something of Subaru. Or he actually does know about Subaru's power, or maybe he doesn't know exactly, but he has, like, an inkling that there's something special about him that lets him get through things like that. That would have been, those are the main explanations I can think of. And I am really interested to find out which it is.
Here's what I don't understand.
Okay.
Okay, Ram and Rem look exactly the same, except for their hair color. So how come Ram acts as if, like, I know she had her memories erased, but would any person would look and see someone who looks exactly like them and think, oh, maybe she was my sister. Maybe Subaru's telling the truth because she looks exactly like me. And instead, she keeps on going on, I have no idea who you're talking about. And it's like, they look exactly the same. I don't get it.
Well, Well, the thing is, I don't think it's necessarily that she doesn't believe him. It's just, if you had no memory of that, then you wouldn't necessarily even remember that. If he said, oh, this is your sister, Rem, and you don't remember, you might not even remember that name. Or did they tell Rem about that yet? Was that ever, did it ever establish that they told her that?
I can't tell you for sure. So,
because Rem still, I think she was still left back at the mansion, and Ram, I think since then has just been in this other place. I don't think we saw them ever tell her on screen about it.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, so then at the end of the episode, Subaru is thinking, wow, just like how Hunter Hunter is about to set a new record for its longest hiatus, I bet if I can, it's only going to be a few episodes until I set a new record for how long I've gone without dying. Oh, I just died. Because that witch person from like the very first arc shows up again and kills him.
Elsa. And she's not a witch. She is just this bow hunter person who cuts out people's bowels because she likes to. And, so she has returned to the show, and that makes it interesting, except it kind of felt like a forced death because everything, it just felt like, it was like, okay, we desperately need something to hook them for the next episode. I know, let's bring back Elsa from 30 episodes ago, bring her in and have her, do stuff because we don't have any other ideas. So, it was just weird. It felt to me like, okay, this episode's going to end without anything happening, and then that just came out of the blue. So, yeah.
I actually initially was wondering, oh, has this been the longest he's gone without dying? And, well, I forgot about the fact he killed himself in the first episode of this season, but if we don't count suicides, is it? And I was actually a little I was actually looking it up, and well, if we don't, I actually counted. Do you want to know what episodes he's died in?
Sure.
So he died in the first episode twice, although that was a double length episode. Then in the second, the fourth, the fifth, died twice in the seventh, one of which was suicide. Then he actually got a reprieve and didn't die again until the fifth episode 15, although he died twice in that one. Then 18, then 23, then 26, that's a season premiere, and then this one. I might have missed one, I admit, but...
Yep.
So, yeah, I get if we... He actually might have, depending... Yeah, he wasn't... So, because of the... If we don't count suicide deaths, it actually would have been close to setting a record, but then he died. So, sorry, Subaru. You're going to have to... manage, maybe you gotta go 8 episodes without dying, man.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, actually, so I wasn't huge on the previous episodes. This one actually did get me more interested, mostly because I was very interested with that because of that stuff with Roswell, and well, I knew Elsa was going to show up sometime this season. So it's kind of cool. Oh, yeah. Hey, here she is.
I knew that, too. I had gotten spoiled a long time ago that she was going to show up sometime after, you know, sometime in this season. So, yeah,
well, what happened, I was looking at a one of the later light novels. Not, like, super later, just a few light novels after the point where the first season ended. And I was looking at a synopsis and mentions Elsa showing up. I'm like, oh, I guess she'll be showing up this season then.
Yep.
Okay, let's see. Was there anything else? Yeah, that's the main stuff I had for ReZero. I don't know. It got me interested. This was more how I was the last few episodes. I mean, they had some good stuff, but this was the one where I was like, "Ooh, I really do want to see what's going to happen." It got me like more excited, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm. Actually, what I'm so most curious about is how far back we're going to reset things. My prediction is that we'll reset things. Actually, why don't we make a guess on that? My prediction is that we'll reset things to just after Subaru came out of that sort of pseudo flashback thing.
My prediction is it'll be at Roswell. Like, Roswell would be the save point. So, yeah. Man, I still can't remember what I'm thinking of, where it was a story about where someone made someone go through all these things, and you're like, oh, yeah, I knew you'd make it through. That's why I put you through this. I know it's an anime of something, and I just can't remember what it is. I can't believe it.
It's not an anime. The only thing that reminds me of was there's a show called Person of Interest where the plot was there was this super computer thing. I won't get into all the deals. Basically, it's able to give them names and it'll be someone who either will kill someone or will be killed. And then the plots are about trying to, you know, figure out who they are, which one, whether they're the murderer or the victim, and trying to stop the killing. So this one person wanted to find the people who were doing that because they're operating in secret. So they actually put out they actually hired a hit on themselves, figuring that those guys would see that and try to protect them. So then they would be able to, you know, get to catch the person who was doing all of that. It just kind of gave this cool stuff when I say, well, it was just like a trust exercise. I just fell down and trusted that you would do it. They say this like right when they were during the process of kidnapping the person who was trying to help them. But I thought I did think that was a cool thing. But That's all that. That's not an anime, and I don't know if that helped remind you, but
I don't know what it is. I'll think of it a couple of weeks from now.
Okay. So. All right. So we have Tales of the Abyss episode 3. So they got arrested, but then it's like, eh, we cool. They find out who Luke is, and due to politics stuff, he's supposed to help deliver some kind of peace treaty or something. Then they get attacked by some who I assume are supposed to be the actual bad guys. But they managed to get rid of. They managed to beat them and kind of and drive them off and then leave. Also, Luke has this big conniption about killing people because he's like, oh, I don't want to kill people. But, and then at the end, it looks like he's going to be killed, but then Tyr, which is it pronounced? I can't remember. Yeah, it looks like Tyr. she takes a like hit trying to protect, him. And I'm like, this is very dramatic, but, I mean, all you got to do is take a potion.
There's only been 3 episodes, yeah. But this is my favorite one so far. I thought it was very exciting, and it had a few twists in it, and it just felt to me like, man, how many hours of the game did that take to happen? And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, how are they even leveling up? Because they're not even, all they're doing is having big boss battles. They aren't having like, I don't see any like minions walking around for them to level up, you know?
My guess is, this is a good question, especially because they make that big thing about Luke not wanting to kill like people. So it would have been monsters he went before. I'm going to guess that when they were going through the forest, there were a lot of random encounters in the game at that point.
Yeah. I thought about buying it last week, and then I was like, you bought Super Princess Peach 10 years ago and never played it. So I'm like, yeah, if I buy it, then I'll forget to play it again.
It's for the 3DS. I could actually play it.
Yeah.
I don't know if the remake is any good though. The villains, although I'm gonna guess that at least some of them are gonna end up joining the party. Seemed kinda decent enough. Although here's something I was noticing. So one of them has guns. And I'm left wondering, why would you use swords when there are guns? I'm wondering, are we ever going to get an explanation on that? Because, like, in World Trigger, there were swords and guns, but there's actually an explanation, although I don't think it was given until later on in the anime. Basically, the explanation is the sort of bullet stuff the bullet cubes you can shoot out. It takes Treon to, it consumes Treon to actually hurt someone with it, but also to make it move. So because you're expending that to actually move it around, whereas you're not with a sword, it doesn't deal as much damage. So that's the advantage to swords in World Trigger, because the energy you put into it can be completely done for offense.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if that there's ever going to be any explanation on that here.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay, so, I'm actually glancing over a guide to the game. It looks like... I'm just trying to glance through some of the stuff. I'm like looking at this very briefly, so I'm skimming. It looks like you did spend a lot of it does look like you spend a decent amount of time sort of in the woods and stuff. And let's see. Huh. I'm looking at something here, and it doesn't necessarily look like this is something that we saw. So maybe they changed the order of some things? I don't know. I'm not going to look further into this because I might spoil myself.
Yeah.
But, yeah. See, was there anything else? Yeah, I was, I was mentioning the thing about how, Tear, like, gets all, like, hurt and stuff, and I made the joke about, oh, no, well, she just has to take a potion. Originally, though, I made this note of saying, oh, no, the character featured second most prominently in the game's, title, it has been killed this early. And I was going to say, then again, in Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars, there's this, like, character who is not as prominently, but reasonably prominently on, like, the game's sort of cover art, and then she, like, dies in the third mission and then is never mentioned again. maybe she's mentioned once or twice, but yeah, not much. It was kind of... But... Okay, so... So yeah, that was Tales of the Abyss. Yeah, the problem with this being based on a video game is it does keep making me think, wow, I wonder what this was like in the game.
Yeah.
I am, it's making me very interested now, because whenever that anime based on The World Ends With You comes out, I'm very curious to see how that will adapt some parts of the game. And then when you, like, watch, and then if we watch it, actually we probably should, because I want to watch it whenever it comes out, but it probably won't be for at least a year. I can be saying, yeah. Oh, this is what happened in the game, whenever you ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's our show. It's not too much, but that's one good, because we kind of had to, as I mentioned, get through the stuff faster without going on all of our tangents. And yeah, we didn't have as much time this week. You know, we're not so. Yeah, once
well,
again,
I injured my foot, so we had to put it off for a day. My foot was in a lot of pain yesterday, so yeah. I was doing a little better today. So
no, I was referring just to the fact that we only watched one episode of each of the things, which made it so that it was much faster to go through these. Okay, so that's our stuff. We've, I guess we can give the top threes. So for me, is it better to count up or count down?
That's completely up to you.
Okay, well, let's see. Third place for me, I think, would be... I had something, and now I feel like I'm talking myself out of it.
I'll give mine.
I'll give mine. I've got it. Okay, so third, I'll give Tales of the Abyss. Second, I'll give JoJo, and first, I'll give ReZero.
Okay, so my third place will actually go to JoJo for a big change, because I thought the episode was actually pretty good. So I'm going to give JoJo its props and allow it to be third place. Second place will go to Excel World, because I like the fact that the villain didn't join the team and didn't get defeated right away. But number one is Tales of the Abyss, because I'm starting to really like that now. And almost to the point of getting the game, but... I just know I won't play it, so. Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm not quite as into... Well, honestly, my desire to play the game is less because I'm that interested. I mean, I do like... I think the show is decent. It's just a matter of I keep wanting to know, how did this play out in the game? Maybe I should, like... Maybe I could look online to see someone play through it, but RPGs are just one of the most... are pretty boring to watch someone play through usually.
Yeah, I actually was watching someone play through Tales of the Abyss. This very game, I was watching it because apparently in one of the scenes they speak English. So I was really confused by that. I was like, wait a minute, so does it have English in the actual game? Or I don't know. I didn't see enough of it to be able to tell, but I saw one of the characters speaking in, you know, American English. So I was like, oh, maybe there was a dub on the game itself, or at least the 3DS. I don't know. But yeah, so that might be something to look into just to see, you know.
Yeah, I was saying RPGs aren't that interesting to watch, but then I was thinking, well, I mean, I guess, which is kind of funny because I actually did watch some of this person playing through a bit of Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door. That was kind of fun. But even then it was just like, look, I just wanted to see their sort of reactions to specific stuff in the game. I wasn't that interested in watching the whole actual thing.
Yeah, I remember I used to watch you play Donkey Kong Country. Hmm. I couldn't believe you beat that game. That game was so hard for me. Let me tell you, I got so mad about that game. I was so frustrated.
The sequel is much better. I mean, the sequel is also hard, but the level design is more interesting. There's more reason to actually search out the secrets and such. The first kind of, it was one of those things where it just kind of felt like the second was just a better version of the first, which actually that stuff with Paper Mario made me sort of get thinking, well, actually, here's the weirdest thing. So because of that, I was like, hey, I should play through this game again. It was fun. So I booted up, start playing, and I'm like past like the very, very, very beginning. Like I made like maybe 15 minutes in, and I start thinking, oh, wait a minute. I never actually... I played through some of the original Paper Mario, but never finished it. Let's go back and try that. So I do that, and, okay, word of advice, don't ever go directly from Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, to the original Paper Mario, because the graphics are so improved in The Thousand Year Door that it suddenly makes everything look really blurry.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so yeah, I was trying that. It's decent, but so far I just do kind of thinking, wow, this does feel like a more primitive version of The Thousand Year Door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and then there's a new Paper Mario game out. I haven't gotten that. I've heard, I don't know. I need to look more into it. I've heard it's better than the last two ones, Sticker Star and, Color Splash. I didn't really like Sticker Star. I didn't play Color Splash, but now I'm rambling and going on tangents, and that's exactly what we're not supposed to be doing this episode.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have a Switch, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you do? Okay. Do you have a Super Mario Maker?
I have Super Mario Maker 2.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, we should give each other our levels that we make. I've made about 12 levels.
I haven't made any levels. I've just like been playing other people's levels. Although I had an idea for a level that would like just involve you having to run to the right for, I don't know, like a few minutes. There would be absolutely nothing that in that whole thing. You just hold right for a few minutes, and then when you get to the that would be the level. It would just be a big troll.
There's enough of those out there, believe me.
Well, to be fair, it's not just that. What would have happened is if you go all the way to the right, spend those several minutes, you'd get a few one-ups, and then there would be a door. And if you enter the door, it would bring you to a place just a little to the left of the start, which would have the goal. So you could just avoid the whole troll thing and just go left immediately if you knew about that and find the secret exit. But if you actually went through with the troll thing, you'd get some one-ups.
Hmm.
at least.
Yeah, see, that's not what Super Mario Maker was made for. It wasn't made to troll people.
Oh, I've run into enough of those levels, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I know there's a ton of them. That's why I don't play them. Mm-hmm. I don't play any levels that other people make because they're all terrible. Like, you can very rarely find good levels. And, some of mine aren't too good because I made them too complicated. But I never try to troll anyone in my levels. I just try to make it a challenge. And unfortunately, my first level I ever made, oh man, that was horrible. Hmm. You ought to try to play it just to see how complicated I made a single level.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've mostly been doing endless challenge on it in the normal difficulty. So yeah, I'm currently ranked, I think, like 10,000. You have to, like, mm-hmm. go through, like, 100. I don't know what number I'm on. I'm at least 150 into it, and then you're to rank 10,000th in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of games that I should be getting back to. Right now, I'm kind... Well, first, I need to get back to Paper Mario and keep playing through that and finish it. But, yeah, at the same... Right now, it really does kind of feel like, from my memories, a weaker version of Thousand Year Door. Like, that's the case in some gameplay, but even in the plot, because I keep looking at this, and so in Paper Mario, right, the plot is that you need to go and get these, I don't know, star spirits or whatever they're called, to get the power to beat Bowser because he has the star rod. And then you're left, and then with the things, and then you're just kind of left wondering, well, if Bowser basically can't be beaten at this point, why doesn't he just go to the next star spirit where Mario is heading and just beat him there? Because he knows where they are, because he's the one holding them prisoner and stuff. Or why... and things like that. And I remember there's this goofy little fan fiction I saw where someone like is pointing out the errors Bowser made and said, well, why didn't you just use the star rod to wish Mario dead? And the reason I bring that up is because in the Thousand Year Door, the villains don't have the crystal stars or whatever they're called. They're always stars in these games. They're looking for them also, so it makes sense that they can't just constantly head you off at the pass or whatever. They don't know exactly where they are. They're also looking for them, so that makes a bit more sense. It's like the narrative just makes a little more sense in Thousand Year Door so far. And I feel the characters you kind of team up with got a little more developed. But whatever, I'm pretty early into it. I mean, I've just started I'm still in the dry desert place. So I'll give a more full review when I finish it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now that you've heard, do you have any ramblings to do before we go off? We still have a little time. All right. So, yeah, this has been Toonami Therapy. You can find our previous episodes at toonamitherapy.podbean.com. Listen to our random tangents, which actually had a bunch of other things that I was thinking of mentioning and discussing, but we don't have time this week. Maybe next week. So, until then, see you next time.